thing is well, I expect so I'll get an order. And if
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right. Any discussion? Any good? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And if that's
right.
Very good. Well, we will write this resolution. And we will start with... We will start with 131. Now, I know it's been on the agenda for February, about 7 months or so. We've taken no action on it for, I think, here as long as it's been on the agenda. So tonight I thought maybe we would discuss it and vote on it. So. If somebody wants to move it for
discussion. Okay. One of the things that I've always thought about, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
About this whole law, of how restricted it is, mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, so here's a scenario that a shopkeeper, you know, whether it's a large or small retailer or a mom and pop store, does have toys that have lead in them or some toxic chemicals that are on this list, and they have to remove them from the shelves. There's no compensation to the storekeeper for the inventory that they're going to lose, but then if these are toxic substances, how are they going to get rid of them? Okay, how do you dispose of these toxic substances? I think it's opening up a can of worms, because what's going to happen is you're going to either have a lawsuit by larger corporations saying that they've got to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get rid of these toxic laced toys and items. And I don't know how, what do you do with toxic? You know, like, you can't just take a bunch of lead and throw it in the landfill and these other chemicals. What's going to happen? Is it just going to be abused? You know, throw it out and have it shipped up to Seneca Meadows and Syracuse and have them deal with it? And who's responsible if they find out that Ulster County is exporting toxic waste illegally? I mean, there's no consideration. You know, there's a consideration and a reality that there are toxic chemicals in these products, but there's no ability to get rid of them, except that it's up to the storekeeper. And I think there's going to be major lawsuits probably against larger retailers.
Has this happened in other counties where they've had this law?
Doesn't
the county of health have a policy? I'm pretty sure don't they dispose of lead in other instances?
I'm not sure. I don't know how they...
I know that this... I'm
sure they do.
That policy in particular was... I think it originated in Suffolk, yeah. But I know there were a couple other counties that had passed it also. Has yet to be implemented. And I know that there's pending litigation out of New York State. I forgot. Maybe it's with Albany County or related specifically to this type of policy. You know, my issue with that, I think Carl makes a great point, but, you know, we had, well, Tracy came and spoke to us, mm-hmm. and we had a number of questions, and she was going to get back to us mm-hmm. with some answers, and that was in February. You know, I had concerns on, although I understand the purpose behind it, I had concerns with the way it would be implemented, who would oversee it. I had concerns with the fairness of it. Being that businesses would be randomly chosen to be audited to see if they are carrying toxic toys, I don't know how fair that would be, considering you know, there's a lot of mom and pop shops out there that don't have the deep pockets to fight it, like Target would. How would that affect the small businesses? And then also, how are you going to do the testing? I know that was another issue as far as the equipment to do the testing. Who's going to be responsible, the person that equipment, how much it was going to cost, how is it going to be calibrated in order to assure its accuracy? Because you don't have to look any further than you know, people that get pulled over for speeding, and if you want to make a big deal about it, you want to see if that radar gun was calibrated correctly, and then you start a lawsuit, and yeah, you want to find out those answers. I think essentially the same thing could happen here. So I don't know. I don't have the answers that we had asked for, and I think we gave ample opportunity and enough time, being that this began in February, to get some of those answers. And being that we don't have any and we're kind of in this same place, I think voting in favor of a public hearing, I don't think, personally, it's the way to go. Considering we have questions that aren't answered, and how would we, essentially answer the questions for the public? And so I don't know. That's where I stand on it. Sure.
Were legislators Bartels and Woro made aware that you were going to call this sort of vote and not lay it aside, as we've been doing routinely?
Well,
they made aware that this was happening tonight?
That we vote on it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess potentially we could have voted on this anytime.
Well, no, but the last time we spoke with them, we said we would lay it aside, and then they would work to get answers for us.
Right, but again, I go back to my original thought is that I think 7 months
additional
event at a committee meeting to answer some questions or explain what your intentions are.
Because each month, when we get a package, this is not, there's other legislation in this legislature that's been laid aside and it's been pending. You see in the back of our packet, each month we've been vote. I don't see what is different now and what the negative implication is to continue to lay it aside.
Right,
no,
and I figured, the thing
that
you would be the vote on.
Greg, I kind of agree with you, because I remember Tracy was all gung-ho to get this work with the committee on our concerns. I even forgot my concerns. It's been so long. We didn't start from scratch. The fairness of it to the mom-and-pops, the fines, creating a whole other department of costs and everything. If we vote and end this and just get rid of it tonight, will Tracy and Mary be able to put the revised law back on next month, or will it be considered the same law and we won't be able to touch it for a year?
She'd have to petition the discharge.
Yeah, she does.
Are you going to petition for it modified?
Well, it hasn't been modified. This hasn't been touched as far as I can see.
Yeah,
no, if this fails tonight in committee, she could bring it petition to discharge. Otherwise, I think you can't bring it up for another year.
And not only that,
and she'll do that. She'll petition to discharge, and it'll just go straight to the floor next month. It won't even go through the committee.
As is.
Yeah.
As is.
I remember what my concerns are, and I'm kind of puzzled. It doesn't seem like any of them were addressed in this. So here's the thing. Like when legislators take these laws, they're basically going on the internet, they're doing a search, and they're extracting, either portions or large segments of pre-existing laws, like be it Suffolk County, New York, or California, and then they're not tailor-making them to Ulster County. They're not fixing any type of flaws or holes that might exist in the law that they've researched, that they're almost copying it verbatim. So the concerns I had were legitimate ones. Number one, it wasn't addressed how they were going to buy the testing instrument. The testing instrument wasn't defined. There was no specific explanation of where it was going to be rented from, what the cost would be, the parameters of what that instrument would be. Okay, and also, there was no mention of a fact. There's some serious holes in this in terms of how can you make a shop owner liable of, it says the department in page 4 in section 6 subdivision D, the department shall inform the retailer of products screened that exceed the toxic contents levels in this law. A retailer that continues to offer for sale a child's product found by the department to violate this law should be issued a citation. So I know I expressed a concern about a list, that a list needs to be compiled. So I'm not certain from the language of this is that when it refers to the department, the commissioner of health, the Department of Health in Ulster County, it doesn't specify, you know, that a specific list is going to be generated. So like the only way that legally you could prevent this from being challenged and that you could hold shop owners and store managers liable for this is you have to compile a list. And the concern that Tracy had was she said that there's a variance in the materials when they get tested. Like you might test one toy, you might have a toy where there's 20 components in like a toy kit. There's multiple items in it, and there might be certain items in the kit that test negative for any infractions, and then there might be certain items that if you test them 10 times, it'll come up negative 3 times and positive 7 times. So my reply to her was that, well, if it tests, you know, even once, it, you know, out of multiple testing, that should be put on the list. But there's no way that you can, this would be challengeable in court, and because you have to compile a list in order for the shop owners to abide by it. And if, you know, if the essentially if this is putting all the onus on the commissioner of health, there needs to be more specificity in subsection D saying the department, you know, that it should state the commissioner shall, you know, record items that fail the test and compile a list for merchants for them to have compliance, you know, right? Yeah. And that makes legal sense. And I brought this up to Tracy, and I brought this up to a woman with them, mm-hmm. you know, very clearly, and it doesn't look like any of that's been addressed here at all. No. So if we put it up for, a public hearing, and it fails, we're basically wasting $300 of taxpayer money to advertise for it.
Right. No, and I agree. I would have to address the point of that. If this fails here and you have to wait another year, it's what we're voting on is for a public hearing. It's not
right.
The actual law itself.
But then they can't. That's the question I was going to have. If that means it's in its like current form, so once you put it up for the public hearing, it's approved. You can't change it, right? So that's what I'm saying. They'll have to go back to the
right.
So, yeah. so we're wasting $300 of taxpayer money, which isn't a lot, but it adds up. This point's been brought up before. When legislators, you know, I'm not going to say names of legislators, but there's stuff that's come through here in my 2 years and 9 months where there's pieces of legislation that come through, and there's multiple legislators that have concerns, and it's brought up, the lawyers have concerns about it too, and then somehow it ends up going up for a public hearing anyway, and then it's brought up, I've heard legislators bring up, well, that's $300 that, you know, we point out the flaws in it, have to, you know, fix them, bring up for another public hearing, right? So I don't see why, like, we should do that, because if it's something that's, like, if it's something that, you know, this is definitely an important law, the merits are good in it, but I don't understand, like, 7 months is a sufficient amount of time to fix any holes in it.
Yeah, I agree.
In response to Legislator Allen, this is the same exact resolution that was introduced when Legislator Bartel first came here, and we had what I thought was a good discussion. Mm-hmm. It was then left that it was going to be laid aside, and she was going to work with Legislator Warro, and when they were able and had questions answered and amendments come back. So this has been on our agenda every month since then. It's still the same one. They didn't reintroduce it, ignoring your concerns. They're still, they are not aware that we're voting on this tonight.
They should have
been operating on an understanding would be laid aside until they came back. it's been on the agenda. It's just because this is what was originally.
What I'm saying, 7 months. I mean, if it was my resolution, I'd fix the resolution.
Let them know.
My point is that seven months is a long time. Like, if this was something that I was putting my heart and soul and intellect into, I would go fix it within a day or two after the committee. I would look at every single one of those concerns and I'd fix it.
I mean, I look at something that's so urgent, life and death, of kids playing with toxic toys.
I have a resolution up tonight. Ken Cornell informed me some stuff I didn't know. I was on the phone with Chairman Ron today. I came in here and I made the changes to it in like 2 minutes. These are very simple. This is just adding like two or three paragraphs, which it would fix this, or four paragraphs. It would take, you know, so somebody who's experienced this, you know, the legislators that put this up, it would be something they could do in like half an hour.
I talked to Tracy at the opening night of the fair. That was last month. And I asked her about the law, you know, because I said, you know, what's going on with it. And, you know, to her defense, she said that, you know, she had some issues a couple months ago, and she lost, I think she said either she lost her momentum, she wants to, you know, get this thing going, but it didn't sound to me like she was in a hurry. I've brought forth resolutions before, and for committees that I wasn't on, and they expected me to be there. If the resolution was coming up in the month, they expected me to be there. If I wasn't there, they voted down. I mean, it sounds cruel, but it is the way it is. I mean, I'm going to vote no on this. I want to come to a vote. I'm going to vote no on it, not to get back at anybody, but there's got to be some kind of formality. I mean, you know, I've had multiple resolutions down in committee that I wasn't on because I didn't go to the committee to explain it. Now, she did come to the committee. She explained it. But I don't know if it actually has been 7 months. Has it been 7 months?
February.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
But not only that, we have a printout here about a chemical safety bill that was happening. And it's my understanding that this pretty much covers exactly what Tracy was trying to get at with this policy as far as products and this is something that I think should have been addressed on the federal level. It's really big for the county to oversee. And this bill, this chemical safety bill, has the oversight of the EPA. So, I think they're more than capable, more so than we can in the county, to oversee and enforce a policy that Tracy was trying to get out here. So, again, I go back to it's been a long time and she's had opportunity and we still have a lot of answers that are going unanswered, and I think in combination with the federal legislation that was passed, I don't really see another way to move forward. But
the comments on the federal legislation are criticisms that there's a lot of things omitted because of lobbying efforts by the chemical industry.
Well, let's put it this way. If it's voted down, she can still petition the discharge, and it can still come back up.
Yeah.
Now, are we responsible for the way this law is written? Right? The sponsor has an intent.
Right.
Okay. But that intent hasn't changed. At least it hasn't changed in the written form. I'd like to call a vote. I'd like to call a vote on it, and if it fails, you can petition to discharge.
I mean, we can use our ability to continue to discuss it, and
we can table it, right?
we can table it again and give her a shot to rewrite it.
No, tabling is different.
Let's give her one last shot to fix it, because I mean I think we're bringing up legitimate concerns. I don't think it has to do with her not being here. I just think that I think there's some holes in this.
I think we established that back in February.
I'm saying 7 months is a long time.
7 months
is a whole and there's simple holes to fix.
You know, and
consider this, okay? Taking no action on a resolution, in this case it can work in her favor. But we could take no action on any resolution here.
I know. Just
to make sure it doesn't get to the floor. Okay?
Yeah, but we're not doing it for that reason, though.
But I'm saying it can be used that way. How many times can we not take action on a resolution? I'd like to know what are the rules of the legislature on that. Because you could stall a resolution forever. Not take action.
Well, committee
could be biased.
You're on the rules committee. You're struggling with your witness.
That sounds like an idea for a resolution, right? Aren't you on that committee? Right?
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. You just got an idea. You just got an idea.
Resolution.
Well, yeah. Well, I'd like to know what the actual rules are.
Well,
on that,
I don't. I might go up out of respect to legislator, to legislator Bartels and Borough. I mean, I would move to set it aside.
Yeah. No. And I understand, but. Yeah, I still go back to the fact that we've been doing this for months. And I, quite honestly, out of respect to the committee, I would think that in those 7 months that they would have an open dialogue with us.
I'm sure word will get back to them.
Word will get back to them when it's housing committee too. So,
it's true.
There's a motion on the
there is a motion on the floor.
There's love and there's tough love.
So,
second?
Second.
I'll make
that motion.
For a call to vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. He made his motion.
Well. All right. And then I'm going to know on the motion to vote. Okay.
I mean, it's...
Well, do we need a motion to vote? I think we should vote.
Yeah, no,
So I agree the motion I need to put this aside.
Was that a motion? Was that a motion on the table? I
didn't get a second.
I'll second it.
All right.
Okay. On the motion? All in favor? No?
Do we have time on the motion?
3-2 against.
So then on the resolution?
I need some.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am.
All in favor to vote on what?
No. There was a motion on the table to postpone.
So it
was a vote on the motion.
3-2.
Then failed.
Failed 2-3. Motion made by me and seconded by Vice Chair Hutner.
Okay. Now, what are you voting on?
And now the motion for the. The resolution.
Resolution 131.
Okay. So all in favor?
Yes.
Alright. With 4 no's? Alright.
Yeah, no, I'm a no.
Is there anything that prevents her from putting up a different resolution that's just worded or called something different but addresses the same issues? Right? She could call it something different.
Go
back and start with scratch.
She could have went through this resolution. She had 7 months to do it and come back with something else than I would do.
I don't think she can make this.
Well, in legislative Bartels County, she's been real. She was ill like twice. Like, Rick, she was sick. Like, she had 2 bouts where she was really, really sick. Like, a month.
You just basically let them know they're voting tonight on it. So,
Well, no, I thought that they knew, didn't they?
No, it's an understanding since...
I mean, like, it's on the website. I mean, it's who's decision was it to put it up on the vote this one?
Well, it was considering the
possibility of it being voted on was there every month.
And Tracy's the sponsor.
Yeah, you postpone it once.
No.
And courtesy. You come back and you make changes. Postponed it again. So we postponed it 6 times.
Right.
And we had no correspondence from her. For her to just assume that we're going to keep postponing it without any kind of correspondence to the committee.
Well, I mean, in my opinion,
and there's other applicants, like I said, I've gone through procedural things to get a resolution to the floor. She's a smart woman. She wants this local law on the floor, she'll get it on the floor.
Some issues that you can trust and make it a solid law.
So she's, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but addition to discharge, and that's like it goes straight to the floor and you make amendments on the floor.
Public hearing.
Yeah.
Right, that's right. But then once the whole thing with the public hearing is that there's advertising costs, that's what people always bring up. So why bring something to the floor if you know it's flawed?
Well, if it goes to the floor, you can make amendments, but then it's got to go back to public hearing.
Right. That's how that gets the $300 that the taxpayers get burned on.
Mr. Chair,
can
we move on?
Yeah, well, just the votes, then we will move on to... Resolution 402, the amending the 2016 budget to accept increased funding from the New York State Office of Tobacco and Substance Abuse, and this is for a 2% increase in the cost of living adjustment.
I'll move it, sir.
I'll second.
Okay.
Not for nothing. I've read reports that Ulster County is one of the drunkest counties in the state. Has anybody read that?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Really?
But the criteria was that we have per capita more bars and drinking establishments than most other counties, so we're labeled the drunkest county in the state. Mm-hmm. I think we have to get away from that. That's ridiculous.
More availability for alcohol. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, our bars are open until 4 in a lot of parts of the state. They have their own county provisions where the bars close earlier than the state law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get up into central and western New York.
Sure.
Well, this was,
2% is not a lot.
It's like $2,700, I guess.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
We will move on to Resolution 413, establishing a policy to provide secret duplicates, informational signs for self-monitoring, and informational pamphlets about Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. We have this.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to add some language to this.
I'll move it. For discussion.
Of discussion, right? Of me adding the language, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the resolution.
Okay, so in the, on page 2, because I had extensive conversations with Ken Cornell, and he sent me some emails, and he said he appreciates what I'm doing. Just wanted to let me know that they're basically spending around $5,000 to put together 2,000 tick removal kits. And also that they go to Department of Health workshops and they get like 3 signs to put up for trailheads. They used to get grant money from the state. There was Department of Health and like educational grants that dried up that aren't available anymore to pay for these tick removal kits. So then the county executive's office is taking it upon themselves to pay for it. They're actually getting volunteer help to put the kits together. So he sent, did everybody get a copy?
Yeah.
So this basically
summed up the costs involved in putting together the 2008, and I guess there's volunteers that actually helped the county out put it together. So, I mean, I could withdraw the resolution, but I mean, we don't have a policy set in place, and my intention is, with the proliferation of the rail trail coming upon us, that it's something where we should have a policy stated so that there's the potential for the Commissioner of Health, through the charter she's granted the authority, to propagate what would be an appropriate number of tick removal kits and to have signs. And, you know, my argument would be, I've been suffering from chronic Lyme disease for 8 years now. I've had all these other symptoms, and I've just come to realize the last month that it's being caused by Lyme disease, and I was, had potential other symptoms, like it could have been multiple sclerosis or something like that. So it's something that is of a personal nature to me, but, you know, it's a fact that the, you know, historically when Lyme disease first, you know, became on a wide scale, you know, it was like Westchester County, Putnam County, and Dutchess County were the top three counties, and those three counties were like 75% of the cases in the entire United States. And the disease has obviously spread to most of the country, but, you know, if you still look, New York State is still the number one in terms of frequency of Lyme disease cases. And if you take, you know, Putnam, Westchester, Dutchess, and Ulster County, we're like the four top counties in the country for Lyme disease cases. And with the rail trail, it's going to be, you know, I put hundreds of miles, probably going to be thousands of miles of trail, and you're going to have thousands, tens of thousands of tourists coming in and residents using those trails. So I'm just looking to have a policy set, but I wanted to, you know, call attention to the work that the county is doing already that I didn't have in the previous language of this resolution.
So the kits that they have now are being paid for by whom?
Taxpayers.
By the taxpayers. Now, this is part of the executive budget.
Yes.
And you want, does this call for additional kits, or is it?
This calls on the Department of Health Commissioner to determine how many.
Right. Now, are they calling for that they need tick removal kits above what they already have?
Well,
like what the supply and demand for them is. Do they have how many do they have?
They did 2,000 last year, but I don't know how many they're planning on doing for next year. And with the rail trail coming on us, I just think it's a good idea to call, like set a policy calling attention to the rail trail being added into the equation. Because I think the expansion of the rail trail, I think, would beg the need for an expansion of the program.
I have a policy amendment that I'd like to make,
sure.
and a resolve. And a second resolve to state, to state that the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive enter into a public-private partnership for the cost of these Lyme disease kits. Now,
see where I can talk. See, I wanted to put something in there
now,
like that.
Now, Vicki, think about it. Health organizations that operate in this county, if they paid for a certain amount of kits and had their logo on the kit, it would be a win-win situation.
Absolutely.
The general public would get their kits, the taxpayer wouldn't have to fit the bill, or the entire bill, and the health insurance company and or any sponsor would benefit from the positive advertising.
Okay, my original intent of this resolution was to put in a paragraph, probably resolve would be better, in terms of literary technique of correctly writing a resolution, but I wanted to address the language in there about having the county executive's office seek like some sort of sponsorship or grants to help pay for the expansion of this program.
Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, well, right. And Vicky, that was my idea too. So Vicky was like kind of saying, well, you can't really tell the county executive like how they have to seek their funding. That was like her response to me. So I don't know.
Well, whereas we encourage,
right,
the Department of Health and the county executive.
So you think we should change it to a whereas instead of a resolve?
No, I think it's got to be a resolve.
Okay.
Now, you know, we set policy and they could, without that, they could do that by themselves.
Right.
And they may very well.
Right.
But they may not.
Right.
And they may say, okay, we're going to have 20,000 of these kits now.
Right.
It's going to cost us $100,000.
Right.
So you got to be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. And do you want that, you know, do you want a possibility of having that burden on the tax
sector
in the budget? Or
county executive Mike Hine, who runs the county pretty fiscally conservatively, I doubt he and he's going to do that.
What's the cost of these now? Do you even know?
Yeah, $5,000. $5,000 for 2,000 kits.
For 2,000 kits.
Yeah, that's supplies only.
Yeah, that's supplies only.
The assembly is income.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't know how many were utilized.
He said annually.
At $5,000 annually for 2,000.
Well, then last year was more. That's where it gets a little murky. It's not like it's, well, this is what was. It doesn't say. It honestly doesn't say. His verbal language to me was annually, but what you're raising a good point. I don't know if that 5,000 was like one shot and it's going to last until it lasts.
See, I think that's what's important is to know how many of those over the past year, how many of those 2,000 tick removal kits were used, and what's the demand for them. But I understand the idea behind it, but I don't understand how a tick removal kit is even really necessary. According to you can go to the CDC website and they tell you exactly how to remove a tick with a pair of tweezers. And somebody going to run up to Kingston in order to get
the kit? Yeah, well, I'm saying like it's, well, but it's like if you had them available. You would have them available at the rail trail. That's why I state that on there.
Vicious, and every mile have like a little.
Well, I don't know about every mile, but I think removal station. I think that would be a little more costly than $5,000. But maybe, you know, like at the informational booth, you know, that would be more realistic of what I would be thinking. Is, you know, at the information booth of the rail trail, because we're going to have this big rail trail that's going to be expansive and it's going to go through various parts of
the town. Yeah, I think it's just literature. I think they just plan on and have been doing literature at the railroad.
Well, see, that's why.
Not the kit they hand them out.
Okay, my language in the first resolve says that they should be available at information booths along the rail trail.
The kit itself.
They'll be going on.
Yeah, that's fine. Let them be going like that. Then we know they're being used, and those
are they being used, or are they? Getting
They're only used if you have a stick.
For 2 years.
I could have used one of those if I had it in my back pocket and I switched over to tick on my
head. Yeah, I think there's probably a resale value on it. I can go take a 100 tick removal kits or 20 tick and put them on eBay. And then, you know, I mean, like this, those things potentially happen. Yeah, you can't, you know.
It's true, Fred. I mean, if somebody could come by and walk in here and steal all our pens and our papers, now it's on tape on the website. It'll give somebody an idea.
I understand it, but people also tend to do things that when nobody's around, more so than they would when
Lyme disease, you'd be all on board with this.
I'm taking the angle that your intent is really for the tourism trait, because tourists are coming to Ulster County and going to be using our trails.
Right.
Okay? So if that's the intent, I'm fine with that. But let's get a public-private
partnership. I agree with you 100%.
The only way I'm going to support this, I think 2,000 of these kits are probably fine. I got a free tick kit from my medical doctor once, and I had it in my glove compartments for years, and I never got a tick. And then I went on the rail the first time with the UND corridor, and that day I had a tick in the back of my neck. I didn't have a tick.
So,
but I took it out. I mean, you know.
But let's hear the wording on this resolve that you had.
Resolved that the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive move towards a public-private partnership with relation to the cost of the kits. I mean, look, if we can get the kits paid for, then it's a no-brainer.
And continue, we should mention about grants, too, and continue to seek government grants, because who knows, maybe some new grant money will open up. You know, just because it dried up and it was cyclical, these grants.
Senate Republicans just dropped a ton of money for Lyme disease awareness in the state budget.
There you go.
Like, I mean, big money.
Okay, and grants. Seek public, you know, I would even go to say a minimum of 50% participation, meaning 50% of the cost of the kits, the private money.
So what exactly is the policy then?
There is no policy. That's what I mean.
Well, they're doing it on their own.
And what are we
doing?
They're doing it on their own. It's in the budget. They're in the health department.
So then,
right. They pay for 2,000 of these.
Yeah. And what exactly is the resolution for?
Well, it's a policy to expand it, really.
Well, that it is.
Yes.
It's not a policy to expand it. It's basically a policy to expand it because I'm suggesting that the kit should be provided along the rail trail. So that nothing's been stated along those lines, and then plus it's calling on the Commissioner of Health to determine a sufficient number. I mean, we could say that 10,000 or 8,000, but I mean, I think that, you know, we should place faith in, you know, that in operations and allow the Commissioner of Health
right, to do their job. Right, but there's also calls for additional signage and pamphlets and literature as well,
right.
Which is going to be a cost to
again for free now.
Who's getting it?
The executive
getting it?
Yeah. It's Ken Cornell told me that they go to Department of Health, like County Department of Health workshops, and they pick them up for free.
Well,
which begs the question, I mean, how many could they possibly be grabbing when they're at conferences like this?
Well, at a trailhead, you're going to have a sign. It's going to be
right. So I'm saying there's going to be more trailhead.
A piece of wood and a
yes. Yeah. Basically tells you to put roll up your socks over your pant legs and
right.
Monitor yourself for ticks.
Right.
Be aware of ticks.
And we don't have those already?
But I'm saying we're going to need more because of the...
So it's going to be a cost to the... If it's a legislative policy, then it's going to be a cost to the legislature.
But then right. In the final resolve, it's calling for him to find the funding for the budget. And then in Carl's... that was my idea, too. Mm-hmm. Vicky just basically... Vicky basically shot my idea down. I had the same idea as Carl to put in the body of it in a resolve paragraph to encourage the county executive's office to seek
right.
Government grants and private sponsorship for this program.
Well, would this be someone putting the cart before the horse because you don't know exactly what it could potentially be?
But that's to be determined by the Commissioner of Health.
Right. Now, would this...
So they might say, well, gee, Legislator Allen and Ulster County Legislature, well, we put out 2,000 kits and we're going to put out 2,001.
And for a couple of years, I've been just
using
2,000.
So they look, it's a policy. They decide how to work that policy. And if it's not economically feasible to do it, they don't have to do it.
1886, that's right.
Because we're not saying you have to spend this amount of money,
right.
You have to have this amount of kits. Personally, I don't think this would pass on the floor without a public-private partnership.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a great idea.
Like I said, charging stations, it's going to fail if they didn't have that public-private partnership.
Okay. I'm still interested to know how many. Well, yeah, how many of those kits are being utilized, and if it's 5,000?
I think 2,000 a year. I think it's part of the actual handing out of the pack of the kits and the having them available is also part of the awareness and education component of it. You know, I think that's not just the use of specifically measured. I think that's the intent, really. behind that, because obviously, like you said, the average, you know, folk has tweezers at home, but it's sure. more about the awareness and having a kit and being aware that you should check yourself from the line and instructions, and it has, you know, facts and all that stuff.
Well, I don't have a second on my motion.
So, to follow up on that, Carl, in the resolve, do you think stylistically we should put it in a separate resolve, or we should merge the language together with the resolve?
It should be the last resolve, because that's going to have the most impact. And it's basically saying, in no uncertain terms, that this policy requires a public-private partnership.
Would this be something that would have to be considered by the executive as well before we actually move forward?
No, we set policy.
Right, and that's what we don't do. That's the whole thing, because I'm thinking in my head, what were resolutions are they really doing this year to set policy,
right.
Other than, you know, we passed a lot of laws.
Yeah, no, and
well, it's not a contest, but...
No, what I'm saying, it's not, but I was thinking, it's like, what policy have we really set this, like... Because I'm trying to think, like, we pass a lot of laws in our body. We basically approve, you know, all kinds of funding. I mean, 98% of what we vote on, or 99% of what we vote on, is just approving funding. But what, Paul? I mean, I was trying to think, like, what, you know, what, like, passing laws on, you know, like, campaign finance, on, you know, recounting of votes.
Sure.
You know, going back, what I'm saying, like, even, but actually setting policy, like, you know, Wayne Archer had a resolution up about setting a policy.
Procedurally, I have a motion, and you can only speak about the motion.
Yeah.
And you speak about what...
Okay, right. But so for the language,
we're going all over the place. What's that?
Because then you have to say you did the final...
No, I approve it. Yeah, but I'm saying I want to work on the form of the language.
So, second it. He can say no.
He's good with it.
I don't
agree with that. I agree with that. Responsible on the committee there.
So you said, and resolve that the Ulster County Legislature recommends that the funding for the said policy be included in the 2017 County Executive's recommended budget, and be it further resolved that the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive's Office seek government...
Move toward a public-private partnership.
And then what else do you say
after
that? For the
cost
of the kits.
Well, I mean, I think we should mention the government. Well, you're saying that covers government grants.
The public-private. The government isn't paying for this. It's the
I know, but I'm saying what I was thinking of having to say, and be it further resolved that the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive's Office seek governmental grants and private funding sources.
Oh. Instead of a public-private partnership.
Yeah, so it's the specifics of that individual legislation.
I like public-private partnership because it opens the door for health agencies to want to participate in this, because they can print their own little packets that these materials go in, like Health Alliance or Institute for Family Health,
okay.
Or, you know, Chico's Bail Bonds or whatever.
When you get arrested on your
I mean, we can expand it then to, you know, we can have public-private partnerships with a flat tire repair kit on the trailheads.
Well, even like nature conservancies or environmental, they can also sponsor.
Yeah,
they can leave it open.
Yeah. Anybody. It's just a public-private sponsorship. Okay. We set the policy, they carry it out. If they can get grants, we're not telling them how to get the money specifically. They get grants to pay for the whole thing, that's fine. They're still carrying out the policy, because the basic policy is you want tick removal kits for the general public, and we want the private concerns to at least pay for half of them, if not all of them.
All right, how do you think this sounds then, Legislator Buffiglio? We said, in the further resolve, that the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive's Office seek a public-private partnership through private funding sponsorships and governmental grants. Through be it further resolved that the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive's Office seek public-private partnerships through private funding sponsorships and government grants. And that way it's specifics.
You're saying private twice.
Yeah.
Public-private and then private again. Why don't you say public-private sponsorship?
My question is this.
And other funding sources.
If you're going to have this resolved, is the policy contingent on them having to entertain the possibility of public?
To seek,
which doesn't mean that they have to,
right?
Right.
But they will. I mean, they're pretty good at that.
Yeah, but when we...
And set yourself. The county executive is fully used.
He did.
And he's right. Going to... He's not going to spend a...
Because it's the PR, like when...
Take removal kits.
Because basically when there was the... When there was all the controversy being spilled about... You can't give away free electricity for the electric charging stations, and then in our caucus, there was, you know, the sponsors of that, and they were being the catalyst of the debate. And I thought to myself, I said, gee, if we could find private sponsorship that makes this problem go away.
Right. Okay. So essentially, what we're doing, nothing's going to change except we are going to encourage them. As they move forward with this, to partake in a public and private partnership,
right? And the language of this basically encourages an expansion of the current program because of the impending proliferation of the rail trail, because it's encouraging the disbursement of these materials at informational booths of the rail trail. Because I'm sure that with the expansion of the rail trail, we're going to have information available.
All right,
so yeah. So
we happy with the
amendment?
Yeah, that's fine. To me, it's not really doing much.
Well,
I'm a no unless that amendment's in.
Yeah.
And be it further resolved that the Commissioner of Health,
County Executive,
seek and the County Executive's Office seek a public-private partnership. Seek a public-private partnership in the course of the
process.
They can get grants anytime they want. We can't stop them. We can't encourage them.
For the course of the program?
Yeah. For the course of, this is a program, right?
Yeah.
Right. This is a TIC program. It's a policy offering TIC kits for the program. So that way, they can get public-private partnership money
to fund the cost associated with this program.
Yeah.
To fund
signage, awareness commercials, PSAs, whatever they want to do.
Of the SHED program? Yeah.
Of this program. Establishing a policy to provide for tick removal kits, informational signs about self-monitoring for ticks, and informational pamphlets about Lyme disease and other tick borne illness. Whatever you say, it's a program. Right now, it's a policy. We're going to set a policy for the program. Just have to say program. We don't have to get, you know, aforementions or third party or the first party.
We are lawmakers, though.
All right. I got my
name. Okay, so. Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the document. I'm thinking, I didn't mean to drag on so long.
And be it further resolved if the Commissioner of Health and the County Executive seek a public-private partnership to fund the cost of the program.
Absolutely.
You nailed it. All right. Thank you.
You nailed it.
skin. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm offering this amendment. I think it's the only way it's going to pass. And
okay, so then I guess call the question.
On the amendment. Okay, then on the resolution, although I'm... Okay, whatever. On the resolution?
Aye. See what happens. Chairman Ron said he would offer me some input, too.
Too late.
Chairman Ron should have been here.
Too late.
And we're setting policy in this community.
Anyway,
it's 7:05.
Can I just bring up new business because I have to leave right now?
Sure.
All right. I'm on the health and mental health committee at NYSAC. We're meeting on the 19th through the 21st in Niagara Falls, Illinois.
Yeah.
And I had two resolutions. Actually, there are three resolutions to bring forth on the state level to NYSAC. One of his calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo and the state legislature to enact rules and regulations requiring the governing of and licensure, conduct, and monitoring of sober homes and recovery residents in New York State. That's one of his, one of the recommendations you can make to the legislature. And the other one is requiring certification of training and programs targeted to better serve individuals with dyslexia and actually individuals. I wonder if that's correct. All right, with dyslexia. I believe legislator Litz brought the dyslexia week last year, and we're going to have it again this year. And Evelyn Whitebag helped me with this resolution. Now, the problem is I'm a new committee member on this committee, and I didn't quite know the rules. The rules for NYSAC to have any resolution come forth in committee is that it has to be approved first by the county legislature that's offering the resolution. So I think I missed out on this session for these two resolutions, although they're going to try to put them on the table for discussion. But next month I'm bringing them up as memorializing resolutions so that they can be voted on, so that in February I can bring them up to the health and mental health committee for discussion.
Okay.
It's a good resolution. I already got feedback from NYSAC. They said they like them, but because of the procedure, they can't officially be, you know. So I just want you to look for these next month. I got to go.
Thank you for sharing.
I need to do the resolution.
Just a real quick thing on that. There was an Olympic athlete who has dyslexia, and
He had a
brain deficiency.
Anyway, all right, well, new business, old business. Vending machine, we probably talked about that. Last one, I don't know if anybody has any additional comments.
Yeah. Are you talking about the policy that we put in a couple of years ago with saying that we have to have a healthy foods and stuff? And you probably know how I feel about that. I voted no against the original policy. If we could overturn that to get let the market call for whatever selling instead of force feeding people what they don't want.
Yeah, government efficiency. We reviewed this, and we had the purchasing director give us an explanation of our local law, and it is ineffective because the local law states the fat content as the main reason for a food to not be healthy. So a bag of Doritos is healthier than a honey nut granola bar.
I knew it.
Yeah. Because the fat content in peanuts are far exceed any cottonseed oil or you know, whatever oil they use in these potato chips. So he recommends that we rescind the local law and really work on something that's a lot, you know, more effective, because really, You know, I've been eating granola bars for a long time over a bag of potato chips. I'm going to save the on fat content by eating the Doritos.
Oh, about the carbs.
Yeah, right.
Everything in moderation.
But we're still reviewing that.
Anything else? Move to adjourn.
Can I say one thing, Craig? We had a conversation over the phone last month after the meeting. And we talked about the Zika virus.
Sure.
And obviously it's not here in New York yet. It may never be. But I have a community with a lot of seniors that travel to Florida
sure.
every year. And I'm sure some of them are, you know, worried about, and maybe they're not worried because they're not aware of it,
sure.
you know, about the side effects and stuff. And, you know, what I asked is possible in the committee's pleasure if we could possibly have a Zika expert. I don't know if there is one in the Hudson Valley or the tech.
Yeah, well, I had to reach out to Dr. Smith about that, and if they were going to look for somebody, I know they've got a lot of information just in their department as far as you know, pamphlets and things like that, that they're willing to give in order to pass out. But as far as somebody coming to speak, I think it's still up in the air whether they can get maybe Dr. Tack, who came and spoke with our I was it last year about Lyme disease.
We don't have to rely on the executive branch to find us an expert. We have
And I agree, and that's something that we could reach out to. Helpline as well as the they have somebody that can come and speak to. Now, if anybody has any ideas or knows something,
Well, we could have a meeting. We possibly have it at the senior center down in Plattekill.
Sure.
You know, and invite the neighboring towns, the neighbors in the county. I mean, you know, that would.
I'd do a little research on your end, see if there's any if we, you know, if the chairman thinks it's a good idea, if we let's say we found an expert that's outside of Ulster County to be willing to come in there.
Come here, but volunteer their time.
I'll fly out and see
it. For the good of the community.
For the good of the community? Okay.
Yeah. And were you going to do a field trip and have a committee meeting down in Plattekill? Or?
Do that.
You're all invited.
What do you got down there? Anything good to eat?
There's some good, we got spirits.
Spirits, nice.
Motion?
Got it.